Tonight we're going to talk about responsibility, which is something that a lot of us really don't want to have, is responsibility. But every one of us, in one way or the other, have to go through life being responsible people. So I want to talk about personal responsibility tonight. I'm going to begin by reading to you from Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 11 and ending with verse 15. So if you want to read with the screen, or if you want to find that in your Bible, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and he who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, this passage is one of the most graphic Bible scriptures that we have that reminds us that there is a day coming in which all of us will stand before this great white throne. And each one of us will give an account of his life and be judged according to the books that has been explained here in Revelation chapter 20. You know, many people in our world today live their lives and never think about this. Perhaps out of ignorance, perhaps because they simply don't care, or perhaps maybe they just are ignoring this day, knowing that it's coming, but not doing anything about it. You know, we have a lot of people who say, I'm not responsible. We probably all know people who do not want to accept responsibility for the things that go on in their life. You know, one of the things that we love to do when we fail to accept our own responsibility, one of our favorite things to do is to blame someone else when something goes wrong in life. You know, when we point our fingers at other people's sins, it's a convenient excuse to help us keep our sins out of focus, because no one likes the idea of being responsible for sin. But yet every one of us will sin, and we know that because of Scripture tells us that. We have become a society of victims, not wanting to be responsible for the things that go wrong in our lives. And this all started at the beginning of time with Adam and Eve. From them on, many people have tried so many different ways to deal with the personal responsibility of sin and not accepting it for themselves. This happened with Adam and Eve. You know, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, Eve pointed her finger to the serpent, and Adam pointed his finger to Eve. Eventually, we find Adam pointing his finger at God. He said, "This woman whom thou gave to be with me gave me of the fruit, and I did eat." So that's one thing we love to do, and that's to try to put the blame on someone else. You know, this is one of the reasons I think that maybe perhaps Jesus told the story of the mote and the beam, or the splinter and the plank, as we sometimes like to call it. You know, we go around and we look for the problems of everybody else, and sometimes we have to look for little bitty things. And when we find problems with someone else, and we're walking along with a great big log in our own eyes. And Jesus told that story to let us know that, you know, when we go around looking for other people's faults, maybe the first place we need to look is in the mirror. Instead of finding fault with someone else, we need to find fault with ourselves. You know, there are many reasons why people say, "I'm not responsible." And we ask that question, why do people do this? Why do we do this? Why do we not want to accept responsibility for ourselves? We seem to have a more difficult time in determining what is right and wrong in our own lives than in the lives of others. And I think maybe one of the reasons for that is because we have lost the definition of what is right and what is wrong in life. For example, 3/4 of Americans deny that there are any moral absolutes anymore. And the reason for that is because we have told that morality has changed tremendously over the years. And we have been told that we're not allowed to call anything sin anymore. We're not allowed to come up to someone and say, well, you're wrong in your thinking and you need to change your thinking. That is no longer a thing anymore. And this is even true in the religious world. And I'm not talking about so much in the churches of Christ, for example, but in the religious world in general, we find people refusing to accept responsibility and telling their audience that they don't need to accept responsibility because sin is not sin anymore. Now, if you don't believe that, watch this fellow sometimes on TV. You will never hear the word sin come out of his mouth. In fact, you'll never hear anything come out of his mouth that would lead you to believe that your soul could be put in danger. He is going to paint the most beautiful picture of Christianity and of living for God and how wonderful life is. And it is. It's a wonderful life, no doubt. But at the same time, the picture needs to be painted that if your life is not what it needs to be, it is not going to be a wonderful life in Christ. But you'll never hear that from this man or people who are like him. We have developed the thinking that we should never admit that anything is wrong in life. New values are taking place in the world every day, and we are creating an environment where the unthinkable has now become the new norm. We're all familiar with that phrase, the new norm. And I've heard that from people. I've heard it from people here who tell me that this is the new norm. And because the old way didn't work for us and the old way is wrong, so we've got to change and now we have the new norm because we want to be normal. We want to be that which is average and everything is okay. But when life gets to the point where everything is not okay, then we change our terminology to make it okay. And that's a problem, folks. When we're not normal, we're not normal, regardless of how we think and try to redefine the word. For example, homosexuality. Now, I can go back to the day, and many of you can. This was not a normal thing. Now, I found out in later years that I went to school with some who were, but it was kept secret. And I didn't find out about it until years and years later. Because it was not the normal thing to do. It was not the normal way to be. And people in general would not accept it. So they kept it secret. Now they don't keep it secret. It has now become the new norm. Illicit talk shows, and you know what I'm talking about. They have no boundaries in their discussion. They will bring out anything and talk about anything, regardless of how wicked and evil that these topics are. And years ago, you would never have seen anything like this on TV or even hear it on in the songs that we listen to on the radio. It has now become the norm. Our children are now told safe sex instead of no sex, because we can't religiously any longer talk about that which is right and that which is wrong. Another example is the adults and what we tell our children based upon what we do in our lives as well. We'll grab the alcohol and we'll chug it down, but we'll tell our kids don't do it. What kind of an example does that set? What are they going to pay attention to? What you do or what you say? And we drink that stuff and then we wonder why our kids are alcoholics or why our kids take drugs. Adults will smoke tobacco and we'll wonder why our kids take it up or why they take that next step and go to marijuana, which I understand is just a stepping stone to the harder drugs in life. And I've had people ask me that question, well, why do my kids do these things? And I look down in their purse or in their pocket, and there's the pack of cigarettes. And they wonder why their kids have turned out the way they have, because they've had that example in their lives. Basically, what we have done, we have assured ourselves that we must never make moral judgments. We have told ourselves that everything is okay, that it's normal. We have new normal things in our lives. And when it becomes wrong to judge others, we also think that we have freed ourselves from judgment as well. Let me ask you something. Are we to never make judgments in life? You know, Jesus told us in John 7 verse 24, he said, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." Now, do you know what he did here? He gave us the right to judge. He gave us the right to determine that which is right and that which is wrong, and to deal with people accordingly. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Paul talked about making a judgment concerning sexual sin. And we know that the Corinthians had made an adjustment or a decision that sexual sin was okay, and they tolerated that sin. But Paul comes along and overrules that judgment, and he said, "Deliver such a one to Satan." He made a judgment, a righteous judgment, based upon what was going on in the lives of those that were around him. That was a judging statement. That was a condemning statement. And Paul did it. And in doing so, tells us that we need to make righteous judgments as well. Now, the last question I want to ask is, what causes people to accept responsibility? Because we have so many people in our lives that don't. There's just one simple answer: the relationship that you have with God. A relationship with God means that you take Jesus Christ seriously. It means that you take your religion seriously. You take your Christianity seriously. Sin is a personal offense to God. It is an abomination to God. He will have nothing to do with sin, and after Judgment Day, he will have nothing to do with those who sin in their lives. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 24, it says that Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." We're going to make a judgment call here, whether or not we're going to follow God or whether we're going to follow the world. And if we decide to follow the world and say that it's okay, we have made a judgment. And it's the wrong judgment. And according to Christ here, we're going to lose our soul because of it. And when I read that verse of someone else, I'm not judging them. I'm telling you what Christ has said about that. Relationship means that we have to be careful with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Relationship, it means that we take the cross seriously. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness." Now again, he puts it on our shoulders. We make that decision. If we're going to live for righteousness, we can live for righteousness because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. But by the same token, we can make the decision not to. But we must take it seriously. Relationship means taking sin itself seriously. David, for example, talked a lot about this in Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51 is known as David's Psalm of Repentance after his sin with Bathsheba. Let's look at a few verses. Psalm 51, verse 3. I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Now, what that means is, I can't walk away from that. I did it. And I know I did it. And I've got to deal with it. Verse 7. Now he's begging. He is saying, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. He knows his life is not right. He knows it's going to take God to make whatever changes that he can make. Only God can cleanse him. And he knows that. Verse 9. Hide my face, or hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquity. Lord, I know you don't like sin. I know you don't want anything to do with sin. Hide your face from me, Lord, that you won't see my sin. And then verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do you know what he's actually asking us here? Be responsible for yourself. Take note of what you have done and deal with it. Make your life right and then move on. Verse 11. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Now David is saying, I acknowledge my sin. I know what I have done. I know that I am responsible. Forgive me, Lord, and let me back in. And then verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Every one of us in this room have made sinful mistakes. And we all know how that feels, to have done something wrong. And we also know that when we come to our Heavenly Father and ask for His forgiveness, it is a joyful thing because we know He has. And we need to be able to understand that even though we make our mistakes, even though we may have sin in our lives, God will forgive, and that is a joyous event. But we've got to take sin seriously, knowing what it can do to us and knowing that we must act to remove it. Relationship means that we take our soul seriously. Paul said it, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You know what that means? That means personal responsibility. You won't be held responsible for what the person sitting next to you has done. You won't be held responsible for what another family member that you have has done. You will be responsible for what you have done. And it is your soul that will be on the line when you stand before God in eternity and not someone else's. No, we can't point our finger and blame our spouse, our parents, our children, our friends, our neighbors, or even the evil people that live close by. It will not work that way. We will be responsible for ourselves. Yes, my friends, we are responsible. We are personally responsible for our very own lives. You may try to delegate it. You may try to spread it around. You may try to cover it up. But it is still yours. And it always will be. God will not judge you for what others did. And God will not judge others for what you did. But He will judge you according to your very own life. No one can believe for you. No one can repent for you. No one can obey the gospel for you. It is something that you must do. And when you stand before God in judgment, you will be responsible for whether you have done this or not. And Christian, if you have gone back into the world, no one did it to you. You did it to yourself. And God will judge you accordingly to what you have done. So if your life is not right, you need to make it right tonight. Be responsible for what you have done and let God forgive you. Yes, you are responsible. Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand to sing this song.